Well, I had the privilege of sharing what's on my heart today, sharing a message from the Lord. It's on perseverance, and everybody's favorite topic, right? Perseverance. Awesome. You all can say amen, hallelujah. Amen, amen, hallelujah. God is good. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being here amongst us today, for honoring us with your presence. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just place your hand upon the word today. May it be driven deep into our hearts, Lord God. May it bring forth just a bounty for your glory. Lord, may you do a work in us today that cannot be undone by the things of this world, that cannot be undone by the trials and the tribulations that we face each day. The things, Lord Jesus, that so quickly try to steal what you have planted in us, Lord. Please protect the seed that is being sown today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I know spring is getting here slowly but surely, right? You see, our flowers are about that high. Our tulips are about that high now. Usually they're about that high and blooming by this time of the year. You know? I tell you, 2 weeks from yesterday, it's the start of spring fishing season. I don't know if you guys like to fish, but I love to fish. And I don't, honestly, I'm not really all that excited based on the temperature that we've seen out here. I don't know if I want to be out there in my boat when it starts snowing. But we'll see how that works out. God is good. He can change things in an instant. Amen? Amen. How many of you guys like to get out in the spring and go hiking or four-wheeling? You guys like to do stuff like that? You know, I was thinking about that this morning. On the farm, I used to live on a farm up in Surrey, and had a four-wheeler and a dirt bike, you know, and all the stuff that kids usually have, especially when they're on the farm, you know. You need that kind of stuff, the essentials, right? The essentials. And we'd run around and we'd tear up and down the fields we'd make paths, right? You'd get paths and you'd get out there, and especially in the springtime when it's kind of wet and muddy, you'd dig all kinds of mud paths and little ruts here and there, right? It's a lot of fun. It's always a good time. But when everything dries out, those ruts really become an issue, you know, especially when they're deep. Amen? Have you guys ever done that? Getting caught in a rut when you're on a four-wheeler or a dirt bike or even in a vehicle? I know we've had plenty of practice this spring with snow, especially that wet, sloppy snow. And when when you get your front wheels into somebody else's rut, just kind of pulls you wherever it wants to go. And you got to kind of follow the rut. You know, follow the rut. And it takes a lot of effort to get out of those things sometimes. Remember being on the farm and sometimes you got to go get the tractor, pull your four-wheeler out of the mud. And sometimes our lives are like that too. Sometimes our lives develop ruts. You ever feel like you're in a rut? You ever feel like you're kind of caught in a path that you don't necessarily want to be in? You ever feel like that? You know, I've felt like that many a times. You get caught into a mindset or you get caught into a habit, and you don't really want to be in that, but the rut's so deep that it just kind of pulls you where it wants to go. Now, a lot of times in our Christianity, these ruts kind of represent just broken ways of doing things. You know, things that we may or may not have thought about when we started to do them. You know, maybe, you know, an example of something like this that we talk about sometimes in anatomy and physiology is like sleeping in the morning, not getting up, maybe not exercising on a regular basis, or maybe a rut that we enjoy is getting donuts every Saturday morning. Amen. Oh, there you go. Thank you. I was looking for validation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or Tuesday, any day of the week, right? Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. But you get into these habits that you don't necessarily think about starting, but they just kind of, all of a sudden, you just wake up one day and it's just a habit. You know, you cut out exercise, you cut out vegetables, all those things that probably shouldn't be doing anyways, right? But then you wake up one day and you're 20 pounds heavier or whatever it may be, and you're like, man, how did this happen? Yeah, you got that I think most young people call it muffin top. You got that muffin top going on. You're like, a little too much donuts. But then God sees those different habits that we have. He sees the ruts that we're kind of stuck in. And the good thing about God is that He's never satisfied with where we're sitting. You ever notice that? You ever notice that God is never complacent? He's never satisfied with allowing us to sit in our ruts. And I just appreciate that about Him. At least I've learned to appreciate that about Him. You know, we're a people that quickly fall into ruts. And if you're like me, most of the time we're kind of happy with our rut. We're kind of happy with the way things are. We don't necessarily want a lot of excitement. We want something that's just kind of laid out in front of us, and we don't have to think too much about where we're going or what we're doing. And yet God knows that we have this tendency. And it's His desire for us to understand the freedom that He wants to bring to our lives. You see, being in a rut takes away all the thought. You just kind of follow the rut. But God wants to show us those paths that are less traveled, right? Those narrow paths, those paths that lead to righteousness. And those paths, a lot of times, need focus. How many of you guys ever go off the trail? Okay? Whether it's maybe jogging off the trail or skiing off the trail or four-wheeling off the trail, you really have to pay attention where you're going, right? You got to be awake, you got to be alert, because one wrong turn, you're going to smack right into a tree. Or you're going to fall off into a ditch, right? And so you got to pay attention to what's going on. And that's why Jesus said that He is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life, and that He is a light in darkness, right? You got to have that light on the path that you're on, because if you're not paying attention, you're gonna wreck. And I think God wants us to be in that kind of a mentality. He wants us to have freedom to move and experience all the new and wonderful things that He has for us in our Christian walk and in our Christian lives. But that takes effort. How many of you guys want to experience God in new ways? I mean, you guys are here, right? You guys are here. You can feel the Holy Spirit moving. And God is alive and He is active. You see, we need to embrace those unexpected occurrences, those kind of off-roading trips that we get on sometimes that just are really intense and demand a lot of our attention. Most of the time, however, we consider them to be the trials and the tribulations that we face. You guys like to be in trials and tribulations? Go ahead, raise your hand. You guys enjoy that? Nobody? None of you guys? None of you guys? How many of you guys feel like you're most alive when stuff is just flying? Stuff is flying, things are hectic, you know? It kind of takes away all the thought. You just gotta react, right? Just gotta react. Kind of like ninth inning, right? Game's on the line. You got to be ready to react when that pitch comes your way. Right, Chris? Yeah? That big curveball? Now, when we look at trials and tribulations, these are the things that God uses to kind of get us out of our ruts. And these things are necessary because as human beings, we find a lot of comfort in what we know. And the fear of the unknown, even if it is a good thing, okay, we fear it. We don't necessarily want to change. Okay? We like to have things comfortable. We like to have things in a way that we understand, right? You can count on it. But God wants us to count on Him. He wants us to get out of that mentality where we're complacent. He wants to get us out of that mentality where, well, things are just this way because they've always been. Okay? Tradition, so to speak, right? You know, there's a lot of family traditions that can be good, and there's some other family traditions that cannot be so good. You know? When I look back at my childhood, you know, one of the traditions is, you know, invite everybody over for a good party, you know, lots of beer, lots of stuff like that. You know, nothing wrong with having a good party, having some friends over, but You know, it's not a tradition that I necessarily want to hand down to my kids. You know, a lot of crazy stuff happened. And those kind of things. You know, not to me personally, you know. But I learned vicariously that it's not necessarily something that you want to be repeating. Now, when God comes into our lives, He looks at us and he sees not just where we're at, but He also sees where He wants us to be. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know? Don't you appreciate it when you have a friend that not just sees and appreciates who you are right now, but knows that someday in the future that you're going to be so much more? You guys have friends like that? I hope you do. I hope you guys have friends that not only appreciate you who you are right now, but friends that see who you're going to be years from now and encourage you to take steps and encourage you to work hard, encourage you to kind of reach for those goals and those dreams. And God is like that. God sees where we're at, and He wants us to reach forward to the things that He has for us. Now, the thing with us human beings, a lot of times it takes trials and it takes tribulations to kind of get us to think differently about our situation. Getting ready to sell our house has been a trial and a tribulation. But it's been good, because all those little things that you thought about doing, you pretty much have to get done within a short time frame if you want to sell your house. You know, that piece of trim busted off, I'll get to it later. You know, the bathroom's cracked, I'll get to that later. You know, it'd be awesome to have a shelf right here, I'll get to that later. I got all these little projects that I've been meaning to get to. And it takes us thinking about selling our house to get them all finished. You know, and it's not necessarily that having a little piece of trim is bad, but it's not the best, right? It's not the best. And you see, God wants the best for us. It's not about the good, because a lot of people think we're good, right? I mean, how many of you guys think that you're pretty good? You're a pretty good person? I'm pretty good, you know? I'm pretty good. You know, the world thinks they're pretty good. When you look out in society thinks it's pretty good. It's pretty good to accept everybody just who they are. You know, that's a good thing, right? It's good to give to the poor, right? It's good, right? It's good to be tolerant of other people's thoughts and ideals, you know? Even if it's completely wrong, it's good to be tolerant. And there's a lot of good things out there, but as Christians, we shouldn't be satisfied with just what is good. We need to look at what is best. And we need to change our lives and start working to what is best. Because even though what is best sometimes requires hard work and labor, the people who founded our nation, the people who founded our country knew that. Some of you guys are up on your history. You guys up on your history a little bit? All right. Our founding fathers, they were on their knees praying for this country, praying what they should do, praying how to form our nation. Can you imagine our government officials getting on their knees before God right today and asking God for guidance and asking Him for leadership? Wouldn't happen. Okay, but our founding fathers knew what it took. And most of those guys, I think it's like 80% of those guys lost everything. A lot of them died in the process. Can you imagine politicians today giving up everything they have to see our country succeed? Maybe even laying down their lives to see our country succeed. Can you imagine even 3 or 4, maybe even a handful of those guys that would do that? I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to say that there'd be enough of those individuals to lay down their life, go through real decision making to make something happen, to ensure that the future of our country was stable, not just what's in our pockets right now, what's in our current paycheck. Most of the time when we get into situations that demand hard work or demand change on our part, we kind of look for the easy way out. You guys ever notice that? You get into a trial or tribulation, you kind of look for the easy way out. Okay? You know, a lot of times that can happen. A lot of people, when they get into financial difficulty, and I've been in this situation as well. When I was running my clinic, and if things weren't financially solvent, or I was really kind of worried about what this week would bring, if I was going to make rent or not, you know, always in the back of my mind, I'd always think, maybe I should go ask my mom and dad for a loan or something like that. Maybe I should go ask one of my friends that has money, see if they can give me a little loan, a little get me by. Sometimes that's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's necessary. But what I chose to do instead, and what I encourage a lot of people to do, is to really just seek the face of God. Okay? Whether it's financially, or whether, you know, it has to do with relationships, you know, whatever it is, when we get into a trial or a situation, one of the first things that we should do is seek God's face. Amen? Okay? King David did this as well as anybody that I've read about in the Bible. And even when he had all of the ability in the world, he still spent time with the Lord asking him what he should do. Have you guys ever read about King David in the Bible? Okay. When he was king, he was one of the greatest warriors and leaders. And he'd never been defeated. And yet, every time he faced a new battle, he would get on his face and he would ask God, what should I do? Do you want me to fight? Even though his record was spotless, even though he had crushed all of his enemies, every time he got into a battle, he'd sit on his face and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God would give him the direction that he needed to win that battle. Have you guys ever, did you guys notice that about David? Okay, but when we get into a situation, how many of us would rather kind of do it in our own strength? Just take care of it. Oh, I've got to do this. I'll just take the money out of the bank, or I'll just help this person out, you know. And sometimes what happens is we become reliant and dependent on our own strength or on someone else's strength and not taking the time and spending it with the Lord and really asking God what he wants to do in the situations. A lot of times when we face trials and tribulations, we also try and tend to blame it on other people, right? You guys ever notice that? Relationships are a trial and tribulation all by themselves. Whether it's a good relationship or a bad relationship, relationships are probably one of the things that God challenges us in the most. How many of you guys have been in some relationship conflict in the last week? Little trouble, little relational issues maybe going on, you know? Got into a fight with Steph yesterday. That's all right. You know, that's all right. We've been married 12 years now, so it's not our first. It definitely won't be our last. But what you learn, you know, especially early on in a relationship, what I've learned is a lot of times the relationships that you have the most conflict in are some of the best relationships to have. You see, like it says in Ecclesiastes, it says, I think it's 11, chapter 11, or, you know, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Our relationships help us to see where our ruts lie a lot of times. Improper ways of thinking or viewing individuals, you know. Somebody might say something one day and kind of rubs you the wrong way. Maybe they're a little out of sorts, and you kind of take that as, you know, that person's just out of sorts. All the time, right? You kind of label them. Have you guys ever done that? Never, right? Never. You've never labeled somebody just off the first conversation you've had, or maybe the way that they've dressed, or maybe the way they drive down the road. I don't know. Not that I've ever done that. But a lot of times, we kind of put labels on people, and we kind of judge them based on one little occurrence. And Maybe they don't like you, and maybe you don't like them, at least at first. But what I've learned is that when you push through those kind of abrasive tendencies and you kind of get past that outer shell, a lot of times they're not that much different than you are. Right? They're not that much different than you are. And a lot of times God uses those relationships in our lives to help us get out of those ruts, to get out of those bad habits that we have, to get us thinking about what we're doing and make necessary changes to do what's better. Another reason that we face these trials and tribulations is that God loves us. And we just feel the love of God when you're in the middle of a trial. You guys do that? Okay, that's good. That's good. How many of you guys are like in the middle of a trial and you're like, God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? What is going on in my life? Don't know where you are. Don't know why this is happening. When we look at the trials, the way that we handle these kind of situations, relationships, finances, even just driving down the road, a lot of times the way that we handle these reveals a lot about what we actually believe about God. You see, His love is everlasting. His steadfast love endures forever. Not just yesterday when we were feeling good, okay? Not today, not just today, when we might be out of sorts or running into different trials or situations that are abrasive, but His steadfast love endures forever. Now, when we start to understand, we start to change our mindset, and we start to look at these things in our life, this stuff in our life that God uses. You know, the purpose of these things, the purpose of these things is to get us to lean on Him, to get us to understand that He sees the best in us and He wants the best for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, you can't imagine all the great and wonderful things that God has for us. So no eye has seen, no ear has heard, all the great and wonderful things that God has for us. Greater than all we can think of or imagine. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we need to be able to trust in God and believe that God loves you. And the reason for all of these, and that's the reason for a lot of these trials and tribulations that we face. He's trying to teach us something through each of these things, whether it's a physical ailment. You know, when I was 36, it seems like it's been, man, it seems like forever ago. It's only been a couple years. But it seems like forever ago. But man, when I was 35, 36, I felt lousy. Man, my knees were hurting, my feet were hurting, my hips were hurting, and I felt like an old man. Man, I felt like an old man. And started looking in the Bible and said, Lord, where's that scripture that says, shall mount up with wings like eagles, all that kind of stuff. God shall give you feet like hinds' feet. You'll be able to jump around and have sound footing. And I'm like, well, if these things are true, if these things are real, then why do I feel so lousy? You know? And God used that to teach me that, you know, it is important to stay active. It's important to be as active as possible. Not just when you're younger, but as we get a little older. This might apply to a couple of us in here. I don't know. But I thought I was pretty in shape, pretty healthy. You know what I'm saying? And started exercising more, getting out, doing more calisthenics, you know, a little more running, a little more jogging. And even though my knees hurt, my hips hurt, my feet hurt, I started to do a lot more things. And the funny thing happened, you know, a lot of those aches and pains went away. And I don't deal with those kind of, I just don't feel that. I feel like I'm back like I'm in my 20s already. You know, I know some of you guys can't associate with that. Some of you guys are still in your 20s. But someday you'll understand what I mean. When we believe that there's a reason and a purpose behind our trials and tribulations, we understand what James said in chapter 1. He said, count it with all joy when trials come upon you, right? Isn't that what James said? He wasn't loopy. He wasn't a little out of his head there. You know, he knew what it took. He knew the reason for it. He said, "Count it with joy when you encounter various trials and tribulations, because the testing, because it tests our faith. And the testing of our faith produces perseverance." Now, what is, you guys remember that verse? Do you guys know that verse? What does perseverance do? And let it have its full work in your lives, right? So that we are made whole and complete. You see, if Jesus didn't love us, God didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his son to die for us on the cross. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't have done anything. And yet, he knew that in our current state, we weren't able to get out of those ruts. We weren't able to change our own life. I mean, there's tons of self-help books. Have you guys ever read one of those self-help books? How to Make a Friend in 30 Seconds? How to Fix Your Own Car, right? I've got a few of those books laying around. But there's a ton of these do-it-yourself books. And that's one of the prevalent themes in our society. Humanism. Have you guys ever heard that term before? Humanism? In a humanistic perspective. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Right? If anybody's going to do it, you can do it. You can do it because you're a good person. Well, it's not necessarily what the Bible says. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short. Right? It says that our righteousness are like filthy rags. And if we could do it on our own, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ. And yet God sent his only son to die for us because we couldn't save ourselves. And many times we need God to intervene. How many of you guys have needed God to intervene in situations that you've faced? Right? I do every day. Just raise my kids. I need God to help me out with that. He needs to give me wisdom. He needs to give me purpose. When you teach and train a child, you understand what perseverance is all about. Amen? Amen. Okay? Someday when you guys have kids, you're going to learn what perseverance is all about. You see, when I look at my boys, I don't want to see them just in the moment. I want to see them as men when they're 18, 19, 20 years old. I want to see them as men. You know what I'm saying? And what I do now is going to define who they're going to be when they become men. And so I don't want to take the easy way out. I don't want to just fix a problem. But I want them to learn how to fix those problems on their own. I want to encourage them. I want to raise them up. I want to teach them what it means to seek the face of the Lord and to pray. I want them to know how to pray. I want them to know what it means to worship God. Because we can't do this on our own. How many of you guys tried that before? You guys tried to do that on your own? I've tried to do that on my own. I tell you what. Wasn't pretty. It was not a good situation. Not a good situation. But when I learned how to depend on God, I learned to trust him through those times. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2. Just the first couple verses here. Actually, let's look at the 3 through 7, then we'll get to 1 and 2. Let's read it kind of a little backwards here. Hebrews chapter 12. Three through seven. All right. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you not forgotten the encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, when you look at these verses, okay, it kind of draws to light a little bit about what we endure, what we go through. Okay, now I know that I've got a lot of habits, a lot of things in my life that probably aren't the best for me, right? And when I look at my children and I look at what they do, you know, there's a few things that aren't the best. And if they continue on that path, there's some things that they're going to have to really answer for when they get to be an adult. You know? You don't want your child to grow up with these bad habits, right? That's right. And God looks at us and he sees us with our bad habits. And he uses these trials and these tribulations that we face to teach us more about him, but also to get us to change, right? To get us to change the things and maybe the reactions that we do. How many of you guys, here's some that might hit a little close to home. How many of you guys struggle with anger? Anybody struggle with anger? You guys don't want to admit it? All right. Here's an example. How about when you guys get into an argument? All right, there's two things here. Okay, how many of you guys, when you guys get into argument, you just got to make sure the other person knows you're right? You just, man, I tell you what, I'm right. I'm going to let you know I'm right until you admit I'm right. Or maybe on the other hand, maybe when you get into an argument, you just kind of like shut down. Okay, can't deal with this. Can't deal with this. I'm just going to leave. All right, just going to leave. Both of those are broken ways of thinking. Both of those are ruts that people commonly fall into. And it takes seeing it, right? You need to see the rut to understand that it's there. But then a lot of times we need help to get out of that way of thinking, right? You need to retrain yourself. You need to retrain the way that we react to conflict and circumstances like that. See, too many people fall into that pit where you got to be right. You got to prove it. Otherwise, you're not somehow perfect. Or you're not somehow validated as an individual. Or you just can't deal with it. You just got to put it off until it kind of deals with itself, right? Yeah. I don't want to do that either. You see, God loves us. And he uses relationships. He uses circumstances. He uses the stuff in our lives to help us become aware of those situations, become aware of those ruts that we're in. And, you know, at least in these verses, it's described as being disciplined. You know, when I was a kid, I hated being disciplined by my dad. I was worried about it, always in the back of my mind. Oh, man. Didn't feed the dogs. I wonder if he's going to notice. He noticed. He noticed everything. Oh, I got up late. I wonder if he's going to notice. You know? We don't want to live in fear of God disciplining us like that. We don't have to have that fear that God's always looking over our shoulder and that he's just, you know, waiting to snap his fingers. Okay, God's not like that. But he will allow us to go through circumstances, to build relationships with people that are abrasive to us, and use situations all the time to get us out of those improper ways of thinking, to help us realize that there's something better for us. There's something better for us. How many of you guys have ever dug a well? You guys ever watch a well dug? You know what I'm talking about? They get out the big drilling machine and they drill down and they may go 60 feet, they may go 80 feet, they may go 120 feet. You ever watch that process? You guys understand what I'm talking about? When you dig a well, you don't know how deep you're going to have to go to get clean water, right? You don't know if it's going to be 60, 80, 120, maybe even 300 feet in some cases where you have to get low enough and dig through enough rock and grit to get out that fresh, clean water. And sometimes that's what the way it works with us. Sometimes you just got to dig a little deeper. Sometimes God just got to get in there and just dig a little deeper into your heart, into those ruts, and get us to a place where we start to produce this clean, fresh water, this life-giving water. It says, out of the depths of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Okay? Is that right? Out of our depths of our innermost being. And some of us are still going through that digging process. Some of us are still getting ground down, right? And that's all right. That's a good thing. It means that God loves you. It means that God loves you. And He's treating you as precious. There's nothing more precious in my life than my kids and my wife. And we are described as sons and daughters of the Most High God, right? Do you guys believe that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God? All right, we need to believe that because that's what the Bible says about us. If we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now a son of the Most High God. We are a son of God or a daughter of God. But even though I love my kids to death and never want anything bad to happen to them, okay, sometimes I got to work on them a little bit. Sometimes it takes some discipline for them to change their mindsets, right? Sometimes it takes work to get in there and really help them. You don't want to take the easy route. You want to look for the easy way out, especially with your kids, because that just teaches them to take the easy way out. You know what I'm saying? Got to get an amen? Come on now. Come on, y'all wake up. It's hard for me to stand behind the podium. I don't know if you guys heard me preach before, but I love to pace. I love to walk around. It's driving me crazy, but this is good. Digging my well up here. Digging my well. God is good. You know, life may have been difficult before, but a lot of times when we look at the life before we were a Christian, we can be tempted to want to go back to those things, can't we? You guys ever felt tempted to go back to the way things were? I mean, look at the Israelites. When they were being brought out of Egypt and head into the promised land, can you imagine a life worse than what they had it? Can you imagine a life worse than what they had? They're standing in mud pits, stomping mud with straw to make bricks for the Egyptians. They just, you know, a few years ago, the prior Pharaoh killed all the boy babies. Killed them all. Can you imagine being in worse condition than that? And yet, when they were coming out of Egypt and going to the promised land, what did they do? They said, oh man, life was good in Egypt. I wish I could go back to Egypt. How many of you guys ever felt like that? How many of you guys were ever tempted to feel like that? You see, change is difficult. And a lot of times, we want to go back to those old things, those old ways of doing it. And yet, perseverance means that we keep moving forward. We stick with the process. Just like raising kids, you can't just raise a kid for a day and say, oh, see you later, buddy. You're done. I'm done with this. All right, it takes years. It takes years to produce a final product that we can be proud of. Amen? You got to stick with it. How many of you guys understand and know that relationships, good relationships, take time? you need to work at them. Even the best relationship that you can have, you know, with your spouse, it takes time, it takes effort, it's hard work. It's hard work. You know, most people thought Steph and I were heading down dirt road when we went to our first marriage conference. It was only 6 months after we were married. Went to our first marriage conference, everybody's like, so, things okay with you and Steph? How are things going with you guys? You going to a marriage conference or what? Absolutely, we were going to a marriage conference. We wanted the things to work out. We wanted things to go the right way. That's why we were doing it. It's a preemptive strike. All right. God is good. And God has a purpose for everything that we go through. It's only by His strength. It's only by His strength that we're able to make it through those processes. When we look at those ruts, and we look at those broken things in our life, it's a lot like what, it's just like what Pastor Jimmy was talking about last week. You know, that mosaic. How many of you guys felt that you were just broken, that you were just unusable before you came to Christ? That your lives were just bits and pieces of just junk. You know, just like Pastor Jimmy's tub. Just busted up. But how many of you guys have seen those artwork, that artwork where people take those busted up pieces of metal and junk and put them together, and it's just incredible? It's like, man. But it takes skill to do that, doesn't it? It takes vision. You have to see the outcome before you start picking up these pieces of broken things, don't you? You know, even when you look at a mosaic, you have to have a picture in your mind before you start picking up those bits and pieces of glass. And that's what God does. He sees this incredible piece of art, this person. He looks at the brokenness that we have in our lives, and He starts to piece these things together. He starts to put them together in such a way that it's beautiful. And when people look at it, it's like, man, that is just incredible. Look at what God has done with that person's life. Look at what God has done. I wanted to read verses 1 and 2. Let's read 1 and 2 here of Hebrews chapter 12 before I get too far ahead of myself. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, it's one thing to see a bunch of broken bits and pieces and say, hey, look at those broken pieces of glass. Look at that busted up person. But it's another thing to start speaking into that individual words of life. You know, we probably have experienced people in both ways, right? People who just say, oh man, that Johnny, he's just busted. No hope for that dude, you know? But then when there's those other individuals that have spoken into our lives, life, right? Man, that Gus, he's got something good inside of him. There's something good in that guy. I just know it. Someday it's going to shine. You know, Steph always tells people that about me. I'm not sure exactly why. It's like, I knew there was something good in that guy. I knew it. If I dug deep enough. Praise God, she did. And praise God that the Lord God sees us like that. He sees that stuff inside of us. And He surrounds us with individuals that encourage us, that challenge us. It says that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You know, my grandparents were instrumental in my becoming aware of God. Even though they're passed away, Way back when I was 21, they died. But when I think about them, I know that they're in heaven looking down on me. I know that they are. You know what I'm saying? And I know that other individuals that I have known and loved and ministered to and who have ministered to me, that they're looking down on us right now. Okay? People in the Bible, Stephen. You know, they're doing a study on Stephen in the kids' class. You know, he's looking down on us today. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're looking down on us today, looking at our lives and looking at us. And they're not sitting there and saying, oh, man, there's no hope for this world, man. They're not saying that. They're saying, man, what a good-looking group of individuals that we got out here at New Freedom Church. That's what they're saying. Amen. All right? Say, look at the army of the Lord. Look at the potential that they have. Look at what they are going to do. Amen? Amen. And so when God starts putting those pieces together, we need to surrender to Him. Right? We need to give Him those broken pieces of our lives. We need to give Him those areas that are tender and those areas that are wounded. Going through this series, you know, I Am the Second, we've heard a lot of testimonies about that, right? You guys remember Sarah's testimony from last week? You know, the brokenness that she experienced, the woundedness that she experienced. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to have brokenness or woundedness, right? How many of you guys have had a little in your life? Okay? You guys have all had it. You know? Everybody has experienced some of that. Even if you're a young individual, you've got some brokenness. You know? Most of the brokenness that really kind of affects us happens usually before the age of 5 years old. Isn't that crazy to think about? A lot of things that screw us up the most happen when we're just a little kid. But there's hope. If we can surrender these things to the Lord and hand these over to God, God can take those and He can start putting them together into something beautiful. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5 and 6 here. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. According to this scripture, when should we trust in God? What's that? Okay, in all things, right? All the time. In all things. Not just when we're here at church, not just when things are good, but all the time. And what do we trust God with? What do we got there? What's up there? All right, all our ways and all times with what? With all of our heart. You see, God doesn't want just a little bit of us. He just doesn't want the good things, right? He wants all of us. See, we need to trust God all the time and with all of our heart. And what does God promise to do for us then? This is active crowd participation. All right, to make our paths straight. How many of you guys would like that? Amen? You know, one of the hardest things to do when you're in a situation and stuff's going on, and it could just be, honestly, it could just be everyday life. You know, most of the time when we struggle with stuff, it's really, we're just kind of struggling with life, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, the things that come upon us are common to everybody. Have you guys noticed that? And the things that we struggle with, the trials and the temptations that we face, they're pretty much the same that everybody else faces. But each of us react to them differently. I could experience the exact same situation that Dean experienced, and yet we describe it completely different, in different terms, in different words, with different emotions. And so life itself can be difficult. You don't have to have anything special happening to be struggling with life. Amen? Yeah. You don't have to have your car break down on the highway. Or you don't have to have your basement flood because your sump pump goes out or something crazy like that. You know, it doesn't have to be something crazy to make our lives difficult, because our lives are just difficult the way they are. And yet when we begin to trust in God, we can lay everything down before Him. He says He will make our paths straight. Okay? And so even though we don't know what the next step holds, we don't know what might happen next, we can trust in God. We can take that step. Amen? We can take that step. We can trust in Him to keep going forward through that situation. We can dig a little bit deeper. See, a lot of us, you know, and I fall into the same category, and I've seen it happen so many times in church, is that we can get out of our bad habits, and we can develop really good habits, right? We develop good habits, right? Make sure you're here on church every Sunday. And that's a good habit to be in, right? We can listen to Pastor Jimmy every Sunday, and that's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But just like our bad habits, we can start to rely on our good habits. We can get into a good rut. And even though that good rut is taking us generally in the direction that we want to go, a lot of times that's not necessarily good for us to be in. You guys understand what I'm getting at? You see, we can't put ourselves into a wagon train and just let Pastor Jimmy pull us around. Okay, many times he's stated that he doesn't want to be the only person walking in the front. He wants people around him, okay, side by side, right? And that's the way that God wants us to be as well. He doesn't want us to be in a wagon train, everybody hooked up to the next person behind him and just mindlessly going down the path. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be involved. We can't just follow the person in the lead. We can't just follow blindly. See, I can't live your life for you, right? And you can't live mine, right? We can preach a good message on Sunday morning. We can teach a good thing in youth group or in kids' church. But ultimately, it still comes down to the decisions that we personally make, right? See, that's why each of us has to learn to trust in God for ourselves. Each of us has to dive into the Word of God and search the Scripture. Each of us has to make it a point to spend time with God in prayer. Each of us has to make it a point to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Each of us has to make that choice. We can't let someone else make that choice for us. Because I can't trust God enough for you not to. I can't trust God enough for Steph not to trust God. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Isn't there a song, "You Can't Get to Heaven"? Roller skates and all kinds of stuff. You can't get to heaven on someone else's shirt tails. I'm not sure if that's part of the song, but I'll just throw that in there. You know, I've seen this happen so many times in church. The pastor is an awesome pastor. He's a great pastor. But life happens. Things change. He might go. He might leave. And what happens to his vision? What happens to the church? Falls apart. Goes to heck. Because so many people tied themselves to the pastor and not to God. Okay? And I'm not saying that this is happening. Okay, I'm not saying. Just making sure. All right? But when that happens, it's like that person that it talks about in the Bible who built this big storehouse or started to build this big tower and wasn't able to finish it because that person wasn't able to instill that vision in someone else to finish the job. And as Christians, and one of the things that we see over here on the banner, it's called discipleship. You guys see that? Would you guys just take a peek? Discipleship. Right there by Philippa. And Dave. All right? Discipleship means that we, as pastors, are raising you guys up to do the work. It's not all about me. It's not about Pastor Jimmy. It's not about Pastor Johnny. Okay? We are raising you guys up to do the work. Because your Christianity depends on you. Okay? I make many mistakes. I screw up all the time. You guys probably have noticed that here and there. Okay? You can say amen. That's all right. All right? We all make many mistakes. And if you start putting your faith into a person instead of putting our faith into Jesus Christ, you're going to be disappointed. How many of you guys bummed out when the Bakers fell? You know, the big mega ministry, you know, all that kind of stuff. You guys even know what I'm talking about? No? Jim and Tammy Faye, okay? All right. Or the big pastor out in Denver, Colorado. His name escapes me, but what was that? No, Swagger, Hager. Is it Hager? Ted Hager, you know? I mean, very dynamic, very charismatic individuals, anointed by God. Okay, they were anointed by God. All right, but we all make many mistakes. If we put our faith into individuals, we're going to be disappointed sooner or later. And that's why we need to be the ones that are actively involved in our faith. We need to be the ones that are trusting God with our whole heart. Not just a little bit at a time, but all of the time. You see, we can encourage you. We can stand alongside you. But ultimately, it's still your job. And it's your job to rely upon God, to seek God's face. You see, Jesus Christ knew this as well. You know, him leaving and going to heaven was one of the best things that ever happened. You guys may think I'm whacked out here. All right. You know, he died and he was crucified, and that was terrible. It was terrible. Only he could ever have endured that. That's why Jesus Christ sent his son to endure that. I'm sorry, that's what God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to endure that. Make sure I get that straight. But if he were to stay on this earth, we would just keep looking at him. Oh, what's Jesus doing? Okay, but he left. And he said, okay, now it's your turn, right? He said, it's your turn to do this. It's your turn to take it from here. Okay, and what did he do? He did one thing, though, before he left. What did he do? Well, he said that. What did he give to us before he left? The Holy Spirit. See, he sent the Holy Spirit. See, God sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. You see, the job of the Holy Spirit is to be our helper, is to be our encourager. He's talked about as our paraclete. You guys ever heard that term before? Paraclete? Not parakeet. Okay, but paraclete. He's the one who stands beside us and he helps us and he directs us and he leads us and he guides us. And so when we look to God, we look to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We start to trust in God. We start to develop an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys feel the Holy Spirit moving this morning? Were you guys aware of that today? Okay, it's one of my prayers for my kids, that they become aware of the Holy Spirit. Because when they become aware of God, they'll never doubt Him. They'll never doubt Him. When they leave the house, when they go to college, they'll never doubt Him if they become aware of Him, because they'll know that He's real and alive and active. That's one of the greatest prayers for my kids, that they become aware of the Holy Spirit. See, when we learn to trust in God, we learn to have patience in the midst of our struggles. We learn to give it all to Him, play it all down before Him, whatever it is that we're facing. Even if it's just everyday life, you got to give it all to Him, because He's the one that's going to help us. He's the one that's going to encourage us. Now, I know that in our lives, you know, we may be at different levels. We may be at different things. Maybe we're going through a lot right now. Maybe there's those significant struggles that we're facing. Maybe it's just everyday life. But if you haven't yet given up your life to Jesus Christ completely, trusting Him with all the little details, we're going to have an altar call. I want to ask you guys to come forward and to just lay that down at God's feet, to start trusting Him today. Maybe you're struggling with the Holy Spirit and really becoming aware of His leadership in your life. I want you to think about coming up to the altar today. You know, circumstances happen, right? And there's a lot that we think is normal that probably isn't. Not what God wants it to be. You know, maybe we've settled for good in the past. But maybe we're trying, maybe we're at that point where we're not happy with what's just good anymore. We want what's best. I want to encourage you guys to reach out for that today. Okay? When Joshua was about to enter into the promised land, he tried to encourage people. He said, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not turn from the right or to the left. But to keep these things in front of you, keep the Bible in front of you. Keep God's commandments in front of you every day." It's just like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so as Jacob is playing, if you guys could dim the lights a little bit. If you guys want to come forward for prayer, I want to pray with you. Get some of the other guys up here, ladies up here to pray with you. So Dean and Bridget can come up here. Pastor. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I've settled for what's good at different points in my life. But I don't want to settle for what's just good anymore. I want to settle for what is best. I want to settle for what God has for us. And I hope you guys feel that same way. I want you guys to go ahead and just stand. You guys just go ahead and stand up. See, there's purpose in everything that we experience. There's purpose in the relationships that we have. There's purpose in the trials and the stuff that goes on every day. And it's in that purpose God wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to reveal that He's got a plan. So let's begin today. Let's make it a point to begin today to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him so that He can direct our paths. So if you need some prayer, just come on up. We'll pray with you this morning. We'll agree with you this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord God, for the Word. We just thank You for Your scriptures. We just thank You, Lord Jesus Christ,
Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are an awesome and almighty God. We ask, Lord, that as we ponder these words this morning, as we ponder these scriptures, that you would do a work in us, Lord, that you would do a work in me, that you would do a work in our church. Lord, it's easy to put off the things that are important. It's easy to put off those things that are important because maybe something a little bit more immediate happens. And just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and then forgetting about it completely. But Lord, help us not to put off these important things. Help us not to put off these opportunities, Lord, that you give to us to make change in our lives too. Do something that ensures that our future is set with you. Just ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would just give us courage. All right, let's pray for courage, that people would just have courage to lay these things down before you this morning. Be strong and of good courage. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep our eyes fixed upon you. Heavenly Father, I know that there's people out there that are maybe struggling with this concept. But Lord, I pray that you would make it clear, that you would help us to understand, that you would help us to have that courage, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're struggling with a relationship. Maybe you're struggling with finances. Maybe you're just struggling with things that are the result of certain actions or activities. And you're just wondering how you're going to get through the next day. Just encourage you to come on up. Come on up. Let's pray with you today. Let's pray with you. See, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. And no matter where we're at today, no matter where we're at, what we're thinking, God is with us. God is going to help us. God is there to help turn those broken pieces into a beautiful mosaic. To take those, what we would consider scrap pieces of our life, and turn it into something beautiful again. And so, Lord Jesus, again, I just pray that you just take these pieces, Lord God, take these broken areas of our life, these ruts that we're in, and just transform them, Lord Jesus Christ. Transform them to your glory. Transform them, Lord God, into your image. Help us to see, Lord Jesus Christ, what you see inside of us. Help us to see what you see in others.